As you can hear, I'm getting huskier by the day, so bear with me. I'll try and keep going for the next 5 minutes. Because I wanted to talk to you this morning about something that's starting to worry me. And I'm not the only one, really. My inbox is always a very good indicator of what's on your mind. And you pointed to two important stories that emerged over the weekend. Seriously, they make no sense. One in the Financial Times and the other in the Nursing Press. The Financial Times, as you know, is paywalled, and you'll have to take my word for it that I produced a fair summary. Cross my fingers, hope to die. The headline really says it all. It says the NHS should exploit private healthcare to get back on track. And the story is really about how Labour will save the NHS. Now, I'm not too sure the private sector will be too keen to be exploited. Never mind. Silly boy tells us that Alan Milburn, who was Health Secretary 25 years ago, and a lot of you probably won't have ever heard of him, and another guy called Paul Corrigan, who I do have a lot of time for, is a very bright guy. He's a former Labour policy advisor, and he's of the same sort of vintage, really. They are, quote, rolling up their sleeves to help, whatever that means. Well, what has it meant in the past? Well, when Milburn was Labour's health secretary, incidentally, you could buy a pint of beer for less than £2, the NHS was required to tender for just about everything, from buying bypasses to running bunion clinics. The upshot was a huge increase in bureaucracy, very high transaction costs, and no evidence of a reduction in operational costs or an improvement in quality. In 2012, of course, we had the Health and Social Care Act, reinforced the NHS's use of the private sector, but that was mostly lost in the chaos of the Lansley reforms and the world banking crisis and, of course, COVID. More recent legislation has freed up the NHS to make more pragmatic decisions on how it buys in services. I think I'm right in saying the NHS has more contracts for services with the private sector now than at any time since well before COVID. Most contracts with the private sector are set at around the NHS tariff, usually well below the price private suppliers might charge for a fee-paying or insured patient. As waiting lists are so long, there's been an expansion in self-pay customers, and I linked to some numbers this morning. Private providers are doing nice business at a premium, and some are none too keen to work for the NHS at cheaper rates. Self-pay has nearly doubled since 2019. Now, there are only about 2,400 private hospitals in the whole of the UK, and the geographical distribution mirrors demographics. Mostly in wealthy areas. For example, there are 28 private hospitals in London. High deprivation areas are where the waiting lists are the longest, and it's where the private sector's hardly represented at all. Most private hospitals won't have ITUs, so if something goes wrong, they ring for an ambulance and wait like the rest of us. Last year, there were 6,000 transfers of care from the private sector to the NHS. Hence, they only do the simple stuff, which depletes NHS income, of which a large chunk will be used to cross-subsidise more complex and time-consuming treatments. And let's not forget, private companies don't grow their own doctors. They just provide facilities for NHS consultants to work outside their contracted NHS hours, usually evenings and weekends, really moonlighting. It's a tiny workforce. Of the 23,000 consultants in the NHS, only 16,000 do some private practice, In the NHS, there are 3,000 operating theatres carrying out more than 10 million operations a year, and one NHS hospital is likely to do more operations in a year than the whole of the private sector. Now, working with the private sector is the mustard, really, on the side of the plate. The meat and two veg are provided by the NHS. It's not a policy, it's a token. Milburn and Corrigan, I'm sorry, gentlemen, are way out of date. The second item, the gullible, well, I say that with a question mark, Nursing Times, which I think is paywalled, although I'm not sure, but I think it is, who published the schmaltzy piece from Streeting to showcase his plan to, quote, train thousands more district nurses. Well, since 2010, the number of district nurses have halved. He says, we will train thousands more district nurses as part of the biggest expansion of NHS staff in history. That's his boast. Well, good luck with that. District nurse trainees already need to be a registered nurse and go on to do a degree level specialist practitioner training. Transferring from nursing to district nursing can often result in down banding on the Agenda for Change pay scale. Look, this is a 5 if not 6 year rollout beyond the life of the next parliament. Frenzied promises and an auction of old ideas is not a way to make policy. And promises are not policy. Neither are they practical or deliverable. That's what Streeting really is missing. Real-time, doable, deliverable ideas that will make things better. Streeting would do well to bear in mind people are remembered for what they do, not what they say they'll do. And thanks for listening. And I hope I'll speak to you again tomorrow. Voice willing. Bye-bye now.